We're having now in our society is we have a bunch of emotional thinkers that want the world to, you know, to fall in line with their emotions. It's not, look, reality doesn't give a shit about emotions.
It's my lived truth.
Fuck your lived truth.
No, it's not. It's your perspective.
Kiss my ass.
Literally, like, hey, Sergeant Pop, you got to turn your barrister. I'm like, over my dead body.
No.
Just give me a statement of charges. Yeah. You're never getting this back. Yeah. You can suck it.
I'm going to wear this with my Russian coat.
You will bury me in this. Hey! Why you got to fucking be like that, man?
Because I'm an asshole, and I learned from the best. I'm sitting across from him, and I'm pointing at you with all four fingers.
All right, first of all, the Russian jacket. Is World War II surplus.
I'll send you a picture of it, Sarge.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I got you standing wearing it with holding two giant buckets like you just collected all the chum from behind the dump dumpster at the bar, and you're going to go home and make ice cream out of it. Hey, what's going on, you cacophonous Canucks? Welcome to Gruntspeak.
Live from the lair.
Plank squat thrust and rump flank steak at your service, along with Unchained Skid remoting in from the not-so-promised Commonwealth land of Canada.
He's a European.
A European, yes.
Oh, the horror. The horror. What can we say?
Colonel Kurt's in the house now, too.
So how's everything in... Still Mexican land.
Still Mexican land.
What? Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. Where do we start?
Wait, they're all coming south. I mean, look at the population of Iceland.
Yeah.
Down to, 400,000. They're all coming here.
Yeah, well, it's warmer now, but it's April, so that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. Although we had one hell of an ice storm. Up in the UP, I believe.
I heard about it.
A couple days ago, I saw some of the footage, man. It was like apocalyptic. They had to close down the Mackinac Bridge because of falling ice.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well,
good times.
Just like our good friend. Well, before we even get into the Canuckistan stuff, I have to check back in on our good friend. You know, speaking of things that are closed temporarily for business.
Oh, God.
Everybody remembers the Thousand Man Express train, right? Lily Phillips is back, and this time she brought a friend. Lily Phillips' friend is having to have surgery after their gross backdoor challenge goes wrong. So they had a backdoor bonanza, you might say.
All right.
She's gone viral once again with her grossest and most dangerous challenge yet, which resulted in her friend having to have surgery down there. Each of them decided to bed 50 consecutive men last week in the backdoor challenge. If you thought this, if the 100 day guys in a day was bad, this is way worse. And from what I understand, each one of these 50 dudes letting her rip the wrong way up the Hershey Highway was within inside of 2 hours.
Yuck.
Wow. All right. Ugh. I gotta say this, okay.
Imagine shoving like 50 turds back into your ass.
Well, in the Army, I've had quite a few soldiers, NCOs, and officers have to get hemorrhoidal surgery. And they were absolutely miserable.
Yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
Wow. This person, after 36 hours, is sitting on ice packs. Some people are refusing to believe that it is real. I hope it's fake.
I hope so, too.
I genuinely do.
They're way too young for that kind of complications in your life.
And honestly, shame on the dudes who are paying money to gain access to this degeneracy. Stop giving these women your attention and money. Oh, you're part of the problem.
Yep.
The age bracket for that surgery is 48 to 58.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. I did come up with, I had an epiphany, you know, what alcoholics refer to as a moment of clarity. Not that I would know about that or anything. But turns out that if you, as a female, get it on with bisexual men, you have gone ass to mouth by proxy. Let's just be honest.
Ooh.
And when you get home and you kiss your husband, he's kissing the lips that sucked the dick that plowed her in the ass.
It's no longer spit or swallow, it's shit or swallow.
Didn't Eddie Murphy talk about that? Says he come home with the AIDS on the lips. He goes to the doctor.
AIDS on the lips.
Says, Mr. Murphy, you have AIDS. Says, AIDS? I ain't no homosexual. Sure, you're not a homosexual.
Yeah, you do.
That's just gross, Blake. That's just completely gross. That's just ridiculous.
It really is. And that is why this has been today's lump of vomit.
Nice.
We haven't used that one in forever.
It's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
But I think it works just fine, don't you? Yeah. They keep screwing me over there. StreamYard, fix your shit. I used to be able to just go back and forth between these things like no problem at all. Now I have to remove and then add and then remove and then add. Yep. Stop it.
Well, we might have to swap out to that other system.
Yeah, that may have to happen.
Because the other system, you can have, what, up to 25 people backstage?
I believe so, yeah. That's still half of what
we need to have 50, though, right?
You got to get up to 50 to go backstage, and you got to get to stitch all that shit back up in there. God. Disgusting.
They had her in stitches.
M. Ragan over on YouTube says, can you say prolapse? A rose by any other name. Would shit as sweet.
Nice.
That's just disgusting.
It really is. It's just awful. And ironically, somebody recently sent me another video that I'm sure that you can touch on as well. And we're going to be talking about what it's like to, you know, be based in Canada, you know, figuratively and literally, of course, in today's day and age. But this right here, I thought you would find this interesting if you haven't seen it, Skid. Third time fleeing Canada to save her life.
I really don't want to keep telling you this story. Here I am again for the third time going to the United States to get faster cancer care. This time because my tumor markers are starting to trend upwards. They're just outside the normal range, and time is of the essence. For those of you who don't know, a year and a half ago, I was diagnosed with a stage 4 ovarian cancer, extremely aggressive. I was diagnosed in Canada, and had I waited for treatment there, I would have died. Instead, because I'm a dual citizen, I went down to the United States, where I'm also a veteran, activated medical benefits, and barely saved my life. Barely got treatment in the nick of time. Treated it aggressively, had the surgeries. March of 2024, I was declared no evidence of disease. Unfortunately, this is a very aggressive cancer. 90 to 95% chance of recurrence with this cancer. So we have done everything we can to be as aggressive as the cancer. We've thrown everything at it since I came home, as most of you know, including off-label medications like ivermectin, anything and everything. But it looks like it's trying to make a comeback. So here in Canada, they told me, yeah, maybe we can get you in a CT scanner in about 2 weeks. Meanwhile, the US oncology team said, get down here right now. We can get you in today. So I'm going to be down there. I'll be in a CT scanner tomorrow. This is an aggressive cancer, so we have to be aggressive. There is no wasting time. So here we are on our way to the US again.
I hope she didn't get the vaccine.
If she did, it would explain why it's particularly aggressive, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Allegedly, of course.
They like to go on about how awesome Canada's socialized medicine system is. And it does have some bonuses to it, is true. But it isn't like they describe it. Like the wait times for, like she's talking about, or for surgeries or for MRIs or things like that, are ridiculously long. So we are all equal here, definitely, like good Marxists, but they're all equally waiting a very long time for healthcare. And it varies from region to region. It's actually not too bad where I'm at. That's when my leg's still working again. But it's like, it can be ridiculously long and socialized. Like it's not what the brochure says for sure. I've been down in the States too. It's not, I mean, that has its problems too, but if you really need stuff, you can get it down there. you're not even allowed to buy stuff up here separately because it has to stay under the socialized system.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Best we can do is kill you.
Yeah. Yeah, best we can do is kill you.
So I get it. I get it. It's, yeah, for sure.
Well, I had a friend of mine who passed away in the early 2000s that was a Canadian kickboxer from Ottawa.
Yeah.
Last name Downing. And he died in his house waiting for a procedure. I think it was a heart valve procedure.
Damn.
Yeah. And he didn't make it. That's just the rumor. I don't know the exact details.
So one thing that they very much improved upon here in our healthcare is what they call MAID, medical assistance in dying. So if you want to actually be euthanized, the line's very short for that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah. I twisted my ankle.
It's interesting how there's getting some really interesting mission creep on that. So oh, yeah. I mean, you could see it for somebody who's in a lot of pain in a fatal disease, you know.
Yeah.
But what if somebody's just depressed, you know, and they're not getting along? Well, you can apply for this now. It's kind of crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Yep. I love the one lady in particular, the one that just ties my dick in a knot, is the one who was forced by your government to take the poke and smoke. Did it crippled her, and instead of accepting their role and it's best we can do is kill you.
Yeah.
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 Oh yeah. 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 There's a whole bunch of people say, oh, you know, we should all forgive and forget from the COVID
era.
I'm like, I'm not forgiving any of that.
Not happening.
No, I'm sorry.
Not after what you guys
did. Not happening.
You want to be forgiven? Go to God. All I could do is help you get there faster.
There you go. Which is not a bad segue. I mean, you might have some more stuff, but if you want to start talking about what's going on up here, that's a great segue as to the difference in
absolutely.
Politics between East and West here.
Yeah. There's only one thing that I can do, and I know that this is a homo suspicion point, but I have to show you guys my dong. It was sent in by a fan. He literally sent me a Vietnam dong from 1964.
Nice.
Along with this note here. Blake, it is hard for me to let go of this coin as it is a 1964 coin from the Vietnam War. But because you get such a kick out of dongs, I'm sending it to you for your enjoyment. Ahoy, Captain, from Gary, U.S. Army, retired Master Sergeant. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Gary. I'll do my best to take care of your dong.
Phrasing.
Yeah, I hang on. I'm going to play this and then I'm going to hand it over to Skid. Well.
That's awesome.
All right, Skid. What is All it right. like being based in Canada? I can't even imagine.
It's.
All right, hang on. Before we start. Okay. Walk me through how you can get a long gun to hunt with in Canada.
All right. So a long gun isn't actually that hard. You want me to walk you through what it was like to get a handgun up until recently?
Yeah, yeah.
Or you want to start with the long gun?
Start with the long gun first.
Okay. Size matters.
Right. So you need to get an acquisition certificate. And so you have to take a course. And you have to pass the course, and you have to get a check done with the RCMP. That's our federal cops. And you get all done, and they issue you your little certificate so you can buy your gun, and then you can go down to the store and buy it.
That's it?
That's pretty much it for a long gun, although ammo now has become prohibitively expensive up here. It's ridiculous now.
Of course.
So So getting a shotgun or a long gun actually isn't that hard. In times past, you had to register it. That's not going on right now, so that's good. That depends on which government is in power, and right now, they haven't brought back the long gun registry, and where I'm at, Alberta wouldn't even let that happen anyway. But to get a long gun, and then your hunting license is just something separate. It's like any other state would be. You just apply to the province, and you get your hunting license, and it's easier whether you're a landowner or not. But a long gun isn't too hard.
But those are bolt-action long guns, right?
So we've got just recently our esteemed government has banned just about anything that makes people feel bad. So they call them assault rifles, but they're not really assault rifles. It's horrible. They just say, so from the get-go, you couldn't have anything that was more than 5 rounds in the magazine anyway, like mm-hmm. 5. It's even worse than California.
Really?
Well, yeah, California, you at least have 10. So it's like, yeah, so... Yeah, a lot of the semi-autos, a lot of the things that just look like you can't get SKS anymore or anything like that. Just recently, they came pretty close to what I've got because I've got an actual 1943 M1 Garand in my basement there. It's a beautiful weapon. They banned all the M1 carbines on the latest go-around. So I guess they feel that they're too short and they can be used as an assault weapon. And they don't like the M1s because, of course, they load with a clip. And that means it's got 8 rounds in it, and there's no other way. You have to put at least 8 rounds in it because that's what fits in the clip. So yeah, they've been slowly banning anything, and it makes no sense whatsoever. Like the way the laws were 10 years ago were more than safe enough, but it is what it is.
Well, I mean, you guys are gay up there, huh?
Well, you know, if the shoe fits, right? So yeah. You know, so now the handguns, on the other hand. So what the liberals did, God, when was it? 2 years ago? They were really smart on this one. I got to give them credit on this one. So they didn't come to take away our handguns. What they did was they said you can't buy, sell, or trade a handgun. So everybody who's got their handgun is stuck with them until they die. It's just so nobody new can buy a handgun. And they're not going to come and take away your handgun. But so, for example, I bought a handgun for each of my daughters, and I can't give it to them now because I'm not allowed to trade the ownership, right? And so it's just ridiculous. Now, before all that happened, the way that you would get a handgun is you'd need a restricted certificate as compared to the non-restricted one that I was talking about for the long gun. So it's another course, another test, another show you can do what you need to do. Another criminal check, and then you can start getting your handguns, but you have to make sure that you belong to a sports shooting club, you know, like a target range, because otherwise, why would you want a handgun, right? It's not like you would want one for home protection or, you know, anything else. So you have to be part of you have to show that you're part of a range somewhere. And then if you're going to move the handgun around, so it has to stay in your house, locked under 3 locks. So it has to have the lock on the door, can be in a safe and with a trigger lock on, and the ammo can't be anywhere near it. Then if you want to take it anywhere, you need an authority to transport. So you have to call up the government, get an authority to transport. Now, they will issue blanket ones between you and the range. So that's nice. So you don't have to call every time you do that. However, if you want to take it to the gunsmith, you got to call up, get an authority to transport. When I move down here from Edmonton, I have to have authority to transport to move all of them down here. That's what it's like to own a handgun in Canada.
Why are you still living in that godforsaken country?
Because to get my green card, I'd have to work full time, and I don't know if I want to do that anymore.
Gotcha.
See what I mean? Like I do the contracts down there, right, in Mojave, and I could switch that and start working full time for them. But man, they'd own me for 5 years as I do that. So I don't know. Unless there's any lovely ladies out there.
I was going to say, why don't you just find some, like,
and, you know, then my green card could come a lot sooner than that. Yeah, I'm a pretty good catch. So
you could just find some, like, desperate post-wall OnlyFans thought with a blown out butthole. Yeah. And then, you can woo her.
Yeah.
Well, you can get a so warm a little.
That kind of answers the question then, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, you can tell her that you're Jeff Bridges from like the first Iron Man movie. They'll buy it because they're stupid.
Well, there you go.
There was another one recently who just fell for she thought that Brad Pitt was romancing her from a hospital. And they say men are lovesick, lonely, and pathetic.
That is just mean.
That's just mean. So the segue from what your question is that maybe I won't have to because stuff is happening up here, right?
Oh, maybe yeah. This I'm really interested.
So hang on. All right. So when Trump came out and said, why are we subsidizing you so much money? We should just make you the 51st state.
Mm-hmm.
And I know of about 8 Canadians, several of them are dual citizenship. They're like, that's an awesome idea. Fuck that place. It's the hat of America anyway.
Yeah. And as long as you're a Commonwealth of the UK, you're essentially the UK Part 2 Electric Boogaloo. And we know what's going on in the UK. they're about as illegitimate as a sitting government can get now.
Yeah. Oh, no question there. I mean, when you're getting arrested for thinking bad thoughts, like that's really, really bad. So yeah, Commonwealth stuff, not so applicable. The real thing that you want to ask about is the difference in politics between East and West.
Okay.
So the easiest way to explain that is think of your Democrat states, which are mostly coastal, versus your Republican states, which are mostly interior. That's kind of the East versus West. The East is, they're the more liberal thinkers, and on the West here, especially in the prairies, not all the way to the west to BC, which is more like California, but out here in the West, we're the conservative types, Republican types, that kind of like want to take care of stuff. Now, generally, this isn't too big of a problem, but now it has become a very big problem. The problem started when Trudeau got in there. Well, it started a long time before that, but got exacerbated because how those guys got elected was very similar to the Democrats down south there. They elect on a program of fear. In this case, the fear of climate change to start with. Ooh. So other ones, but let's just keep it with climate change just to keep on topic.
All right.
So to understand, to rule in Canada, you need to have a majority of the seats in the House of Commons, which is similar to your Congress. Same idea. So you have to elect a number of member of parliament, which is like a congressman. Okay, how you do that? Well, most of them are in Ontario and Quebec, which is out east. So how do you appeal to those people? Those are the people who you're scaring with climate change. And those people say, oh, we got to do something about climate change. Well, what should we do? Well, we should hobble our oil and gas. Because if we do that, you know, the 1.5% that Canada contributes to the whole world thing will save the world then. Okay, so you get elected by making sure that those people are happy because it doesn't affect them. It affects us out here out west because now you hobble our oil and gas industry. You say you can only produce so much. You can only have so much emissions. You're going to have to pay so much tax for so much emissions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To make it even more fun, Trudeau's environmental minister was Stephen Guilbeault, who used to be with Greenpeace and was arrested doing stunts for Greenpeace. This guy's a psycho eco guy. And so they kept pounding at our industries out here. And we're just going, okay, this has got to stop. So not too long ago, we elected a premier here, which would be like a governor down there, who is like, okay, we're not putting up with this anymore. And started to say, okay, we're going to make moves not to necessarily separate Alberta, but to start insulating it from what's really federal overreach, right? Because the federal government should not have a say in how we manage our resources. But by doing the stuff through the back door, pardon the word, is that they are controlling what we're doing, right? And so that's just coming into a big fight. And so this was how this was all starting to happen. It was really because of Trudeau and all kinds of stuff just to throw stuff on the fire. Remember a couple years ago, Japan and Germany coming to us say, hey, man, can you sell us some light natural gas? Which would have been great if we could get it to the market, and then would have been good for them, good for us. And Trudeau says, yeah, no, we can't do that. So instead, they get it from everywhere else. And meanwhile, again, it hobbles our industry because it appeals to the Eastern voters.
Yeah.
So you see how this is going.
Yep.
All right. So we were all sitting here going, okay, Trudeau's screwed up so much. Everybody hates him so much. He's got to finally go. And we were looking forward to this. And in early January, he says that he's going to finally quit. And we're like, yes, that we're going to have an election here soon. We'll elect the Conservatives, which is the right-wing party up here. Although really, compared to you guys, it's very centralist. So anyway, we just, at least it's not crazy left. So we're going to elect these guys so we can get our industry going again. And then...
And then
two things happen all at once.
And then
they have a leadership race for the Liberals because Trudeau's quitting, and they bring in Carney. And I will talk all about this guy in a second. And at the same time, Trump takes over down south and starts saying this stuff like the 51st state and the waffling back and forth on the tariffs and then this tariff and that tariff that. And then... So remember, those Eastern voters vote based on fear, right? So now they got something else to be scared about. Trump's coming up here to make us Americans. Trump's coming up here to destroy our economy, blah, 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 blah. So they start freaking out about all this stuff, and they go back to the same party that's been wrecking this country for the past 10 years. because obviously, because they have Mark Carney there now instead of Trudeau, it's completely changed, right? So now these guys will be awesome. And so, whereas Polyev, who is our candidate for that right-wing party, was way up here and the Liberals down here, whoop, polls completely go the other way. And now it looks like they're going to, if an election were to be held today, and you could believe the polls, which I don't necessarily do, we can talk about that later, then they'd elect the crazy left-wing party, the Liberals, again to do more damage. So that's where we're looking at right now. And again, they've played upon a fear thing. And so the problem now is, first of all, it's like when your mom says, hey, I'm going to buy you some ice cream, and then decides to change your mind. That's how we all feel. Like, I thought we were going to get a conservative government, and now we're going to get a liberal government to make it worse again. So everybody down here is very, very, very upset with what's going on. If it happens, so to answer your question, we're getting there. Just give me a second. If it does happen that we elect a liberal government, and they keep on with their environmental policies of hobbling our oil and gas industry like they have done so far, and there's no indication that they won't, Alberta will have to make moves to go towards independence, if for nothing else, to save our economy. And if that should happen, that is going to prompt a constitutional crisis, which could lead to us leaving. And we're probably not going to leave on our own. So what does that end up with? There's a lot of talk around here of joining the United States.
All right. Side note.
Welcome with open arms, brother.
Do you have any idea how many actual combat aircraft Canada has?
Yes.
Since you're a fighter pilot?
Well, yes. Well, I did.
What do you think would happen if the United States just said, you know what? I think we're going to go north and just start fucking you guys up. What would you be able to do about it?
First of all, if that were happening here, like, for example, if you mobilized Montana National Guard and just started coming north of the border, we'd probably help them.
All right. That's good, because I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want your beer.
Now,
I want your syrup.
Now, I don't think it's funny to talk about. It's never going to go down that way again, because it's all about ROI, right? Yeah. And so what would the... The whole 51st state thing is just, you know, to agitate those idiots out east who can't think for themselves and get fearful of something as just negotiation. Mm-hmm. But what is real is, like I say, being able to get our oil to market. And if we can't do that, we're going to find out some kind of partner that we can do that with. And guess what? That's you.
So is
real Eastern, baby drill.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Eastern Canada where they speak frog?
So that's
surrender monkey.
So you got Ontario and Quebec, and it is Quebec that does that, yes.
Quebec.
Yeah, because...
It should be Queerbeck now.
Because I've been over... I used to kickbox out in Canada, out in Toronto, and what, and some other cities. I don't remember their names. Every now and again, they have people like walk up and talk to me in like French, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Poisson?
I'm well, American, man.
So there's a whole bunch of ironies there. First of all, is Quebec has been looking to try and separate from Canada since about 1976, and they almost did it in 1995. They had a referendum. Huh. And so because Quebec was prompting that, so for them, it's not about money. For them, it's about preserving their language and culture. So they want to be isolated. And I'm like, I don't know how separating yourself from the country in a North American continent where America dominates all the business and culture that you think you're going to keep your French language, it's like much more enshrined in Canada, but whatever, you know, okay. So they wanted to do that. But as a consequence of what they did in 1995, it prompted a ruling from the Supreme Court, because it asked, okay, can Quebec actually separate? And the Supreme Court ruled on it and said, yes, if you have a well-posed question and over half the people vote yes on the referendum question, then divorce proceedings have to start, basically. And so that ruling is applying. And so Alberta could use that. If we actually had a referendum here, that is actually the constitutionally approved way from the Supreme Court of getting out. So it's just like, wow, okay. And so weirdly enough, Quebec and Alberta have been forging some ties, because we both want out of this if it goes down that way where the Liberals get back in power.
Mm. Because I'm going to be honest, I would love to watch some Berbers and Boom Booms go down in Canada.
Berbers and Boom Booms.
It would be, A10. So, I mean, and so this brings up another point, right? So you're like, you know, when Trump makes his claim about trade deficits and things like that, we've been carrying Canada for a little bit and just annoys some of the people up here to no end. And I'm like,
it is true, though. I mean, you know,
but there's truth to that. So to your point, Pop, I mean, in terms of defense, it's like, look, if you can't, this is difficult for a military man to say. I mean, imagine you're in my country that deliberately underspends on defense spending and completely depends on their southern neighbor for all of their defense. And it's like, it's true. We don't spend hardly anything on our military and completely depend on you guys down there for keeping us safe in this crazy world. And I'm like,
and that's why I'm socialized medicine.
It's like, should there be something? Is that part of a negotiation? Yeah, there probably should be. I mean, so that is true. You look at other things too. At the same time, though, you know, Trump was mentioning there's certain trade imbalances. On the one hand, true. For example, dairy, eggs, yes. Chicken, poultry, that kind of thing. There is an entire, I'm not even going to get into it because God only knows I don't want them knocking on my door. These guys are powerful up here, but there's an entire cabal that takes care of the marketing for all that. So that it is very socialist and nothing is going to touch that. And so, if you want to sell an American chicken up here, you got a problem because you got to go up against.
The tariffs on dairy alone are over 200%.
And listen, it's fun and games. Until we have 10,000 tanks rolling north with all kinds of
you just want to get it on. I know. No,
but the look on your face, the Canadians would be like holding their beer, like
Alberta would be like, "Hey, can we ride?"
Yeah. You. It's funny. Now, on the other hand, certain aspects of it are silly. So, for example. And I think he might be facing this because of that ruling that just came out of the Senate, is that declaring a fentanyl emergency from drugs coming across the northern border is completely specious. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. If anything, there's way more drugs coming north from the states coming in the pipeline, and almost every crime committed up here with a handgun was done with a gun that came up here from the states. So if you want to talk about border stuff, yeah.
However, sure there's a big black market for handguns up there.
Dude, all the laws. Every time they commit a crime up here, I'm like, so you're right. It was the legal handgun owner who went through all these steps that did that. Or it was the guy who got it from the pipeline in the States. Exactly. Anyway, all that to say, there's a little bit of nuance to it. But at the end of the day, if you're going to sit there and complain about some other country putting tariffs on your goods, maybe you should look at home first and get your economy sorted out instead of complaining about what else is going on and get shit sorted out and then negotiate. And that is the way we think out here. And that is why when this is happening, Danielle Smith was down there with you guys actually trying to make deals and figure stuff out. Meanwhile, in the East, they're being all blowhard about, we're going to do this and we're going to hit back. We're going to do this. I'm like, dudes, you do realize their American economy is like 20 times bigger than ours. And even though they're our biggest trading partner, we're not necessarily that big a percentage of theirs.
No, what are you I think you're do? 13%.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do? So instead of talking tough and all that, why don't you try and solve the problem?
Yeah, it just cracks me up when your new BM, we'll call him that instead of PM, because he's definitely a shit talker, he said that Trump announcing reciprocal tariffs, not punishing tariffs like we're just going to do it to stick it to you, but literally just reciprocal tariffs, meaning what's good for you is obviously good for us. That constituted an act of war, but literally saying that he was going to cut the grid to New England and Michigan and everything, leaving millions of people who have nothing to do with this out of power. That wasn't an act of war?
Well, hang on. This is what would happen.
I'm just saying, because if words are violence.
this is what's going to happen because of the trade war that's going on.
Ugh.
In the short term, basically 24 months to 36 months, it's going to impact the United States to a moderate to decent degree. But as time marches along, and we start getting our own industry up and rolling, so we don't need to import all of this stuff, the world is going to suffer permanently because we won't be outsourcing all of our goddamn jobs. like we used to. We used to have, what, 30% of our actual GDP was industry here in this country. It's now down to 10%.
Yeah.
So if we bring that up to 30%, hell, let's just take it to 40%. And guess what? The rest of the world is going to be clamoring.
Mm-hmm. Because inevitably what happens when you get into this sort of a tariff war is, you just like you said, you incentivize domestic production of goods, which in the long run only helps you nationwide.
Yes.
And the leftists don't understand economics. That's why they're leftists. They just think, well, it's going to increase costs in the short term. Yes. But in the long term, you're talking about bolstering an economy from within instead of depending on, because we say this all the time, modern women are stupid because they love to look outside themselves at every moment for happiness. It's on you to make me happy. It's anything that can be provided for you by somebody else can be taken away.
That's right.
Pure and simple. So it is not smart to be a domestic, a almost solely based on imports. If your economy is built on that, you're fucking up by the numbers.
Well, so the left doesn't really understand economics. They never really build anything. They're terrible leaders, and they don't follow their own laws.
No. Well, and like you were saying earlier about them, about the, like, all of a sudden, just because Trump, you know, got reelected down here, all of a sudden they flipped on a dime up in Canada and we're going to go back to the same party that was doing them damage for decades. Hey, take a look at Chicago, Detroit, Baltimore, all of these leftoid run cities that have been run into the ground. No one has been uplifted by their policies forever and a day, and they keep voting for them anyway.
I think the word you're looking for is ever.
Well, and stupid.
It's disingenuous because it's not explaining things properly, right? It's like, from a purely economic standpoint, in terms of what costs more, yes, tariffs make things cost more. Of course they do. So you don't put on tariffs for a necessarily economic reason. You put them on for a political reason. In this case, bringing more of your industry home because you want to build up your national base better and also protect yourself strategic assets that way because you do more stuff at home. Okay. So this is why I say, you know, like, I just, we hope that somehow Polyev, who's our conservative guy, gets elected.